Praise Almighty Yahweh, and welcome to the Shepherd's Call. And here we are again tonight in Andrews, North Carolina, at the Feast of Tabernacles. We hope you're having an excellent Wednesday night, Thursday night.
Thursday.
We're so glad to have all the women together tonight to bring your show. So I'll introduce Christine Souter, Dr. Jack's wife, and let her take it away.
Well, thank you, Brother Eric. We're really having a fantastic time here at the Feast of Tabernacles in Andrews. And tonight, Buddy's graciously turned the show over to us women, and our subject tonight is going to be the women of Israel. And we want to honor these women. Adam was given Eve as a helpmate, and that means to aid him, to help him in all his work. We were told that we were supposed to be fruitful and multiply, and that means that we Israelite women should be having Israelite children and raising them up after our father, Jacob Israel, and after our father Yahweh. So tonight we have Arlene with us, Sister Arlene. She was with us last time we were on the air, and she's a faithful warrior for Yahweh. And we have Sister Thelma, Pastor Buddy's wife, and she's also a faithful warrior committed to the Father and to raising up children after the laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. We have Sister Nancy with us tonight, and her husband introduced us, Pastor Eric, and we have Sue here, and her husband's a deacon at the local assembly. And we have a special honor and treat tonight. We have Ruby, and her brother was Newman Britton, and who we all miss very dearly. And he was a great warrior for the Father. And her husband's Jack. We can't leave him out because he's a great warrior also. And they just got in a few hours ago, and I told somebody that it was just like the sunshine just came out when they walked through the door. It was incredible. And Buddy said when they walked in that Newman came in with them, and I thought, well, that was the sunshine I saw. I just praise Almighty Yahweh. And Ruby and Jack have come all the way from California to be with us here in Andrews. And when Buddy told us we were doing the show and Ruby was here, I had a feeling in my heart. I said, wow, she's got something special to tell us here on the show tonight. We don't know what it is, and Ruby may not even know what it is. But Ruby, share a little bit with what you told me about coming. Somebody said, "Are you? Were you just in the area, or did you?"
Here.
Get our phone situation sorted out. There you go. Yeah, tell us a little bit about you coming here.
No, we didn't plan on coming at all, and the Lord just spoke to me and said I was supposed to be here. We were supposed to come.
Praise you.
And I've had a really bad back problem. I thought, Lord, I can't get on that plane. I can't sit for 3 or 4 hours, but when the Lord tells you to go, you know that there's a reward, there's a reason, and that you will be blessed.
Yes. Praise Father. So, Ruby, we're going to just talk about some of the women in the Bible, and we'll just start since you have the phone. And like I said, you know, we think of Eve, and Adam came down here, and he had the garden. I guess the garden probably wasn't here. We don't really believe it was here, but wherever it was, Adam was put into the garden, and he had all the animals. And you think of all the beauty he had. It must have been a gorgeous place, and he had the trees and the flowers, and they had the animals, but he was lacking something. There was something missing, a part of him that was missing, and the Father realized that. So he said, well, I'll take this part of you and I'll give you a helpmate. I'll give you your other part, your other half. How long have you and Jack been married?
Next month it'll be 46 years.
Oh, praise Yahweh. That's wonderful.
Yes, it has been wonderful.
And I don't even know. Do you have children?
We have 7 children.
Oh, my. You may have told me that before. I don't remember.
They're all grown, and we have 13 grandchildren.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And they all live right in Riverside with us.
Yeah.
So that's why. Otherwise, we moved back here and be with you. We love this area so much.
Oh, praise Yahweh.
We love these people so much.
Yeah. I thought, you know, now I kind of get into numbers, and that's true to sometimes, too. But my mind said, oh, 7, spiritual perfection. I said, 13, that's Jacob Israel, the sons of Jacob. I thought, oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, that's really great. So any great-grandchildren yet?
Not yet, but we have a 19-year-old granddaughter, so it won't be too young. We're not rushing her.
No, that's a good idea in today's times. They have a hard enough time living here in this world, but... You know, I think of Eve, and, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, I think she kind of gets a bad rap and the finger pointed to her, but, you know, we all want to look at her, and men always use that. So I always say to my, when the guys start picking on me, I said, oh, just call me Eve. I'll take the blame for everything. But we have since the beginning, so, but the Father knew that we were strong and we could bear it, and he wouldn't give us more than we could bear. But I always think of this the scripture, and it's Genesis 3:1, and it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? But the key there to me is, he says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now she didn't just get tricked by just any Joe Blow. I mean, she got tricked by the big serpent. I mean, he was tricky and he was cunning. And what some of the guys forget here is that says she gave to her husband and he ate also, or gave to Adam and he ate also. So he partook also. So she got kind of caught in the middle there. And I don't know, after Eve then, you know, she bore Cain and Abel, and then she bore Seth, who we come through the descendants. He's our father. Seth is our father. And I think after that, you know, there's not a lot of women really mentioned after Eve. It doesn't tell you who Seth married, and it doesn't tell you who, you know,
right.
who they married. But when you get down to Genesis 6:9, it says that Noah was a just man, and he was perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with Yahweh, and he begat 3 sons. Well, now, if you look up that word where it says that he was perfect in his generations, that Strong's number is 8549. And it means that perfect there means without blemish, without spot. It means he was pure-blooded, that his blood was pure. So it means his wife was also pure, because they had 3 sons that... were pure. And when they got off the ark, the Father told them to be fruitful and multiply. Oh, praise right. Almighty Yahweh. So then I think, like I said, I don't know if you can think of any women in between here, but then of course we get to Sarah, who was married to Abraham, and was told when they were sent to, or the Father told them to come into the land of Canaan, and he said, you know, take your family and that which belongs to you, and go to the promised land, and Sarah came with him. And in Genesis 18:10, the angels came and had a meal. I think it was a Passover meal, if I remember correctly. And they had unleavened bread. And it said, the angel said, Sarah shall have a son. And Abraham and her were both said old and stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner with women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. Well, I know probably today, Ruby, you're at that age.
I think I would laugh.
You would probably laugh, too. But they said Sarah was 90 when she bore Isaac. But you would think it would be pretty funny right now.
Right now.
So, but the neat thing about that is because Abraham and her both laughed, that Isaac got his name, which means laughter. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Isn't that nice?
You know, aren't you thankful that we can laugh and we can joke and you know, we're serious about Yahweh, but we can laugh at things of the world, and we know that if we laugh at Satan, that he'll run from us. It really upsets him. And so if we can laugh at these things, these fleshly things, it's such a relief, and it just frees us from the anxieties of this flesh body. But do you have anything you want to say about Sarah?
No, I was just thinking of wasn't it Miriam that was Moses?
Yes, Miriam.
Sure, that was very, very important.
Yeah, and she came over when they were in battle. Remember, she played the tambourine. She led all the other women with the timbrels, they said, and she went out with the cymbals. And the women would go into battle, and they'd go like, you know, nanny nanny boo boo to the other warriors and the people that were fighting, and they actually laughed at them. I mean, they had a lot of nerve. I wonder who was kidding the children.
Babysitters.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll bet the young mothers probably didn't have to go out. You know, they just had to. Women like you and me.
Old women.
Yes. Yeah, old women that have grandchildren. They were sent out. But, Selma, do you have something you'd like to say about our mother, Sarah? I'm sure you do. And you other ladies think about that. Well, and if you have a special woman, I mean, there's, you know, we haven't even got to Rebecca or Leah or Rachel or Bilha. You know, there's lots of women here we haven't even got to. So we may have to do this again next feast time. So what do you think? When we mention Sarah, what do you think of?
Well, just when you never doubt what can happen, miracles, just see the miracle in her age, and she thought it impossible, but there's nothing impossible with Yah. He blessed her in her older days, and whatever he wants done, he can do it. And that's the thing I had on my mind was trust, and trusting in him. If you really put your trust in him 100%, you don't doubt. There's nothing, there's no limits. Anything is possible. I'd like to read just a couple of scriptures here in Proverbs chapter 3 about trust, that it first starts out in chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." That's the thing that I have learned by experience, is the commandments, to keep those, and to keep the first one, to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, is the main commandment. And then the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself, and that's your brothers and sisters, and you will do that if you love Yahweh. You will love them. You will forgive them no matter what they do. That is required. And if you have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you can do that. And in verse 2 says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." So we'll have peace and we'll have a long life and length of days. That means we'll get to do the work that is set here before us to do. And that's the main thing, is to do everything that we need to do for Yahweh while we're here. That's what we're here for. In verse 3, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yah and man." Verse 5, "Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." I've learned that also, that when I try to trust in the flesh, which is my own understanding, I always get in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn to trust in him. And it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Everything you do, you should pray about it. You shouldn't just go ahead and do anything without asking him first if it's okay. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear him, Yahweh, and depart from evil. We know right from wrong. We've got to the age to where we ought to know when something's right and when it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
By learning when we were growing up and then into early adulthood, you make a lot of mistakes. And then verse 8, it says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor, then this is real good in verse 9. It says, honor Yahweh with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We trust in him, but we don't trust him like in our substances and in our tithings mm-hmm. and offerings. We just go so far, and then when it comes to that, it's like, well, I don't know. I can't trust him to, in other words, people don't believe that his word is true when he says that he will bless you.
Right.
He will keep you. If you'll do what he says today.
You know, a lot of people, that's it. They don't trust that if they give that money or whatever to Yahweh, that he's going to take care of all their needs. If everybody believed that, we'd all be tithing a lot more and, giving a lot more, but we are so fearful that, that our needs aren't going to be met, so we hold on to every penny and everything. And the Father says, like you said, the more you give, the more you get. And I know that's true. I don't know how many cars you and Buddy have given away, but you always seem to, they just keep multiplying on you. You keep getting more.
That's the way it goes. You give, and it's a law. It's a law. You give, and then you shall receive.
Praise
people just don't know that. They've not tried it. You need to try Yahweh and see what he'll do for you. Verse 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So it's a promise, and it's a law, and we just need to try him and see what he'll do.
Mm-hmm.
In Malachi, he talks about how that the blessings will not be able, you won't be able to contain it. It's just awesome what the Father will do. And the main thing is your health. There's where I believe that the most precious thing in life is your health. And you don't realize how important it is and how precious it is until it's gone.
That's right.
And I thank him for my health. All else is not important to me. I do know that I've seen a lot of sickness, and I do know that disobedience comes from our sickness comes from disobedience when we don't do what we're supposed to be doing. And then we reap, what we sow.
Sure.
So that's the main thing tonight. Trusting Yahweh and just, surrender your life to him and he'll just take care of you.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
Yes, well, Second Thelma, when you mentioned in their first fruits and give your first fruits, and it made me think of Hannah, who was Samuel's mother, and if you go over to the first chapter of Samuel, and Hannah was barren, and she went to the father, and I'm sure she asked him many, many times, but there was a time that she came to him, and he opened her womb, but her promise, she made a promise to the father, if you will give me a male child, she said, I will give him back to you. And she raised the child until, now this got to be really hard, but, and they probably weaned him about, 3-4 years old, I think something that. And so when he was weaned, she took him and, left him. I don't know. I've only got a daughter. I don't have a son, but, that would have been really hard to do. But, she kept her vow to the father, and, Samuel became a great man. He was, considered the last judge in Israel. He anointed Saul king, the first king. He anointed David, first king. And, he was a mighty man. of Yahweh, and you just wonder, you know, if his mother, if Yahweh would have just given her children, you know, he probably wouldn't have turned out to be the great man, but the father was waiting for her. The father was waiting for her to come to him, and he wanted something from her, and as soon as she gave him and met him at his level, and she said, I'll be your servant, and I'll give you my son to be your servant, then she was rewarded with this child. And I give a little testimony. I'll probably do all the yakking. Nancy in the background says, praise God, I do all the yakking. But anyway, this morning I was really loaded down, burdened with a lot of work. And, you know, I was trying to get a lot of things done. We're in the feast, but we have a home-based business, and we do some mail orders, and we have internet, and we have a lot of things going business-wise, but because we're having the feast at our house, we're not away from the phone, so we keep getting orders, keep getting things going on here. And I was very busy this morning, plus I was trying to clean up the mud off the carpet because it's very muddy outside, and people have been outside, man, and I was just thinking, you know, I just got so much work to do here, and I knew the show was coming up tonight, and I thought, man, I just got to work. You know, the Father spoke to me, and he said, didn't you say you wanted to be my servant? Didn't you claim you were my servant? Like, oh, yeah, I forgot that. I forgot that, and I think women, a lot of us, unfortunately, and I know the men have a heavy load because it's we're their responsibility, and they have to see to our needs, you know, the materialistic things and the financial things and the needs of the children, and they have a heavy load put on them, but yet sometimes they can just sit down and relax and rest, and we have to still keep going to meet their needs and to meet the children's needs. And if we have house guests, to meet their needs and that type of thing. So, but I'm thankful to Yahweh for speaking to me and telling me that this morning. And but he gave that to me very gently and said, didn't you? I thought you were my servant. You know, you backing out now? And I go, oh, sorry, Dad. You know, I'm here with you, and let me not complain the rest of the day. So he put another test on me. We were in meeting all afternoon, and when I came home, I think we got in the house around 6, and for the next hour and a half, I was basically with customers and doing things, and then the show was coming. So, but I'm thankful for the Father for what he's done for me and in my life, and you know, if I had a choice, I wouldn't have it any other way. He's just blessed us so abundantly, and it really is nice to have the feast here in Andrews, to have the people come into our home and to be able to share the fellowship, to share the word of Yahweh. And Dr. Jack and I are just really, really grateful for that. And I know, Thelma, you and Buddy, you've had the feast a lot of times, at your home, and you know what I'm talking about, the burden, so.
Yeah, it's a big responsibility, but it's well worth it, the blessing, to see the people that come and find the truth, and it's a pearl of great price.
Praise Yahweh. And we've had people come from, we have two people that have never been to any of our feasts from Texas this year. We have somebody that showed up from Montana that just kind of walked in. We had no idea that he was even coming. And, well, we're coming up to the break, so I guess we'll see you on the other side of the break. There's Almighty Yahweh. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call, and Pastor Buddy has turned the show over to the women this evening here at the Feast of Tabernacles in Andrews, North Carolina. And We're honoring the mothers of Jacob Israel tonight. We're talking about the woman you read about in the Bible. We've discussed Eve and Sarah and Hannah Samuel's mother and Ruby. We have a special treat here tonight. Well, it's always a special treat to have the women together because a lot of them live out of town. Two of us are local here, but we have four women that are visiting. One from California, Ruby, who's Newman Britton's sister, and Arlene, she's from Tennessee, and Thelma and Nancy are from Tennessee, and we're having a wonderful time here at the feast. It's just the Father's blessed us. He's been here with us. It's just awesome. You can feel his spirit. It's just incredible, and you know, I know some of you know what I'm talking about when you say feel the spirit of Yahweh. Some of you don't, but somebody said today was speaking, and they said, I've been in a lot of churches, and there's a love here. There's something different here, and we all get a little aggravated with each other at our the physical things and in the flesh. And but that's what we're here for. This is this life that we're living here on this earth. The Father sent us here to overcome the flesh, and that's when our reward is going to be given to us at the day of judgment, because we were overcomers of the flesh. And that's it's a difficult thing, but our Messiah, Yahweh Shua, showed us that it can be done, that you can walk in a flesh body and overcome it. And we in our hearts, we love each other. We have a unity in our heart. And when we can get our minds out of the fleshly things and get our thoughts on Yahweh and on His love for us and His commandments and what He's told us to do and to be, then we don't have these little petty differences, and we can overlook these fleshly things. And a while back, Day of Atonement was the 10th day of the Hebrew month, which was last week. We started the Passover on the 15th day of the Hebrew month, and it says that you're supposed to afflict yourself and make an offering to Yahweh, and we offer up our Father. We're going to offer up 7 nights here, plus it says also on the 8th night, if you go to Leviticus 23, it tells you to make an offering by fire. And this offering is requests and thanksgivings to our Father, and we're sending them up in prayer and fire to Him. And my husband and I, when we did the Day of Atonement, we were frustrated with things that we felt weren't going right here in the flesh. And I wrote out my little paper, and Doc actually got kind of busy and was kind of running behind schedule. And I said, well, if you just want to read my paper and if you agree with it, just go ahead and sign your name on it, and we'll just say ditto. And I said, but then I got to thinking what I wrote on it, and it was a lot of mostly asking for the Father. We would like to have the heart of Yahweh, who loves all His children unconditionally. And I get a little aggravated with us when we step out of line, and when we're disobedient, and just like our children, we spank them and we punish them because, you know, they're disobedient to us. And the Father will do the same to us. But if we do what He tells us to do, you know, He blesses us. And He loves us, and no matter how bad we are, He still loves us. So you people out there that think the Father can't forgive you for what you've done, if you humble yourselves, you repent of your sins, and you come to Him, He will forgive you, and He will love you. And, you know, we believe that we can walk the talk, or how you say it. You know, and a lot of people, they talk, and they don't do that. But we try as an assembly here to overlook people's faults. And sometimes we've overlooked them to the point where we probably should have been slapped upside the head by Yahweh, because we went too far maybe with putting up with some things that maybe weren't necessary. And but the Father says to be long-suffering, and some of us don't know where that long-suffering ends. We just keep suffering and suffering and suffering. And Buddy and his wife Thelma are prime examples of that. They don't give up on people. And some of us wonder, you know, because we aren't quite that long-suffering, we haven't gotten there yet, that Father's given them both something special. He's given them his heart and the love for Jacob Israel. And anyway, that's what we're all about here in Andrews. We truly do, and you may come here and we might fall short. We all fall short of the honor and glory of Yahweh, but we do strive. We do want to be like the Father, and we're united in that and to committing to Him. And it's a lifetime of work. It's not something that happens overnight. It's a lifetime of living and learning and lessons from the Father. And he does try us, but he says we're going to be refined like gold and silver. We're going to be put through the fire. And without that, we won't be perfected, and we won't live in his kingdom with him forever. We don't want to be outside of the gates. We want to be in the gates of New Jerusalem with our holy, almighty Yahweh. But I know women aren't supposed to be preaching to men, so I hope you guys had your ears closed. Anyway, let's talk. We're honoring the mothers of Israel tonight, and so we talked a little bit about Sarah, and it's kind of sad. Sarah was had already died before Isaac had a wife, and so she never got to know her daughter-in-law, and she never got to see her grandchildren. But she did bear the son that the father did promise her. So Rebecca, Sarah, before she died, she said, you know, promise me, told Abraham, she said, promise me that you will not take a son for a daughter, you know, out of these heathen. So his servant, Abraham's servant, went back to their homeland, and which was in Syria, and there found Rebecca, which was happened to be a relative, and found Rebecca, and she was the Bible says she was a fair damsel, and she was a virgin, and which I think that's also a sign of purity, that not only the blood purity, but her virginity. And when she saw Isaac, she loved him immediately, and they bore, or she bore, Jacob and Esau. And Esau did marry strange women. He married Canaanite women. It upset his mother tremendously. Rebecca was very upset that Esau took these strange women in. But she said, told her son to get a wife, and to get a wife from her family, and sent Jacob to her brother Laban, and that is where he worked for 7 years for Leah. Unfortunately, well, he worked 7 years for Rachel. Unfortunately for him, maybe not unfortunately, because there were six sons born by her, so praise Almighty Yahweh. But he worked, as the father had a plan that I'm sure Jacob didn't understand, nor do we. But Rachel, Jacob worked 6 years for Rachel, and he was given Leah, and he worked another, 7 years. I'm sorry, seven years. So I got a six written down here. I said six sons, and my brain got lost. Sorry, girls, audience out there. But anyway, Leah, he worked another 7 years for Rachel. And then after they married them, there was a lot of contention because Leah had sons, but the father closed up Rachel's womb. And she even got, Jacob loved her dearly, but he got a little upset with her, even reading the scripture, and said, hey, I'm not the one that closed your womb. It was Yahweh, you know. God Almighty did that, not me, so don't get upset with me. So in the process, because Rachel didn't have any children, she gave her handmaid, who was Bilhah, to Jacob so she could have children through her handmaid. And so they had two sons, which were Dan and Naphtali. And then Leah, there must have been this jealousy thing going on. I don't know. It must have been kind of crazy. But anyway, so Leah gave her handmaid to Jacob, Zilpah, and she had Gad and Asher. And then, as we know, the six sons of Leah were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. And then Rachel had Joseph and Benjamin, who through different reasons, which we're not going to get into here, the Reuben being the firstborn lost the birthright, and Joseph ended up with being the birthright child. and he was a favorite of his father. And but there was 12 sons that came out of that one man, and that represents our heritage. That's Jacob, and then he was surnamed Israel. So Sister Arlene has a phone here. So do you have anything to add to any of the women, of any of the wives or the concubines of Jacob?
One thing that the number 12 means is government.
Yes.
Number 13 is rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting, I think, that pertains to Israel.
Yes.
There's many other women in the Bible. I can't think of them all at one time, but...
Well, go ahead and tell us somebody you're thinking of. I know there's so many women, but... Who would be your... I know the other night, Buddy asked you, some of you don't know Sister Arlene, but she's a single woman, and can I say how old you are, Arlene, or not?
Yeah.
Are you 61 yet, or still 60?
61.
61, and she's never been married. And Buddy said, asked her the other night, if you did get married, what would you be looking for in a man? Tell us what you said.
I said I'd like for him to be as much like Yahweh as possible.
So praise Almighty Yahweh. So I don't know.
Everybody just laughed, and everybody just said, God loves me in that.
We told her good luck, but that's high standards. And so maybe someday Yahweh will send her a man as much like him as possible. So, but if you had a woman, you know, in the Bible that you looked up to, or somebody that you thought did something, I don't know, you know, extra special, who would that be?
Yeah, this Mary, the mother of Yahweh's Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I was thinking about a while ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She had to contend with a lot of sorrow. I mean, she didn't understand what Yahweh's Sarah was here for at first. And, of course, after she died and everything was resurrected, then I think she began to understand she must have. She probably had studied the scriptures a lot, you know, what they had at the time, but it probably didn't dawn on her completely what he was here for until after he was died, after he died and was resurrected. What it was here for, and beginning to dawn on her, I think her understanding increased,
I think about her, a young girl, and, today we have, and I know it's all through the generations, you know, we've had young girls that weren't married, that got pregnant, and my heart's always had a special place for those, girls. I've had such empathy for them, and it's just got to be a heartache to be in that situation, not being married, and then especially if you don't have a man that'll stand by you, and you're all alone and bringing this child into the world. And I think of Mary back then, and here she's totally innocent. I mean, she's just totally innocent of everything. And the ridicule, and he said, well, as I said earlier, the Father won't give us more than we can bear, but that, to me, that would have been a sorrow right there. But, you know, that shows her obedience to Yahweh. You know, he told her, and she said, I'm your servant, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's just fantastic. So.
Mm-hmm. There's been some legends about her. One of them was that she... Her parents dedicated her to Yahweh.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And she was supposed to have been taken to the temple at the age of three. And what they did, they ran a test on her, kind of like. And what they did, they had her climb a rope onto the temple or something. I'm not sure what that story is, but she was able, at the age of three, she was able to climb. A rope into the temple, like that.
Yeah.
And so they knew that she was mature enough,
to
learn something, whatever she could learn.
Yeah. Yeah, so that we go back to what we were talking about, Samuel, Hannah getting dedicating her son Samuel to the Father. And, yeah, we know Mary had to be very, very special to be given that honor to be the mother of the Messiah. The Father wouldn't have put his seed into somebody that wasn't of, you know, that he didn't regard quite highly, that wasn't obedient to him and in every way. So that's an example of what our obedience does. The Father will honor us. You know, he'll give us glory like his glory if we are obedient to him. So, you know, somebody else I think about, like you said, there's so many women in the Bible. And I think about Ruth and how she stayed with her mother Naomi. She said, "I won't leave you. I will stay with you." You know, she was her daughter-in-law, and her father-in-law had died, and her husband had died, and there was another daughter-in-law, but the other daughter-in-law went home, which, you know, I'm not criticizing her, but, you know, she went home, but Ruth stayed with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and, you know, she was like a daughter. She said, "I'll be like your daughter, you'll be my daughter," And David came through that lineage that, you know, she ended up marrying Boaz, and then he had Obed, and Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David. So without Ruth, her, you know, love for her mother-in-law and her willingness to serve the Father, you know, we wouldn't have been able to carry on this, you know, the genealogy. And, you know, I don't know. Ruby, can you think of any other women you'd like to talk about that, you know, that somebody that really means something to you, or somebody you use, maybe a woman that's an example to you, or...
Well, I could talk about my mother.
Oh, please go ahead.
She was really an example to me. She's with a Christian, what we called, call Christian.
Right.
That I ever knew. She really...
Praise
God. She really lived for him. And, really prayed to God every day and looked to God for everything. And so I can remember, even as a child, or if I was sick or I was in pain, her praying for me and the pain going away.
Hallelujah.
So I can speak of my mother very highly.
Yeah.
As far as women in the Bible, I always liked Rachel.
Yeah,
I always liked her.
What do you think about her? I mean, what's special? What do you think of?
I think the fact that Jacob loved her so much. She must have been a wonderful person.
Mm.
And she looked to God, and he gave her a couple of beautiful sons after all. I think they were very special to Jacob also.
Yeah,
through Joseph, he helped and blessed his. Lost his brothers. He was down into Egypt and was able to help his brothers when they were all in need.
Well, we know that's why the Father sent him down there. We didn't understand, or he may not have understood.
I'm sure he didn't understand.
And you know, and it was a flesh thing too. I mean, that was envy and jealousy and the bitterness that the brothers had. And I can see that this 17-year-old, you think, snot-nosed kid, you're out there tending the sheep, and you're working, and you're doing whatever, and daddy sends you out there and says, well, go check on your brothers and see what they're doing. And, you know, they probably got a little irritated with him being daddy's favorite. And then his dream, when he said, you know, he said, "You're all going to bow down to me," you know. And that's true, because he is a birthright son, and we do bow down to Joseph.
If he had a little more maturity on him, he would have probably not bragged as much to his brothers to cause them irritation. We learn he's going to get older. Because even though he was the father's favorite.
Yeah. That's probably why the Father sent him to Egypt, to keep him from getting killed. And he sent him down there. You know, and Judah, that's another thing. Is sometimes Judah gets a bad rap to say, he sold him. He says, well, you know what? If he wouldn't have sold, the other ones wanted to kill him. He saved his life by selling him. So
that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was
so, And so he was down there and he was established, and so when famine came in the land,
yeah,
they had a place to go. So the Father has such a wonderful plan for all of us, and sometimes we, you know, when we're in the flesh, we don't understand these things, but we just need to go with the flow and, you know,
follow
the Spirit. So, Nancy, tell us, who's your favorite woman in the Bible? Oh, come on, you've got somebody that's special or an example. But you don't have to talk forever. Just give us a little example.
Well, I don't know if I have a favorite, but one that always comes to mind is Sarah, simply because I'm soon to be 46, and I'm from a large family, and my mother was a God-loving and God-fearing woman, even though I was raised up in Catholicism, and I managed to get to this message through Yahweh guiding me all these years. But my mother did believe in the Father, and I came out of a large family. My mother had 8 children. Well, she lost one, so I was from a family of 7. I had 2 older sisters and 2 younger sisters. And so I always just expected, even when I was little, you know, I used to tell people I want to have 10 children, I want to have 4 children. You know, I was always throwing out large numbers. And for some reason, I've never been able to have any children. And so I guess I sort of relate to Sarah, you know, because she
mm-hmm.
really wanted a child and
right.
couldn't have one. And then she entered her older age, and the Father blesses her. She's, I believe, was 90.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And she sort of laughed, like, you got to be kidding me. Now I'm going to have a baby. And I think Abraham was 106 or 110.
Something like that.
And so she got blessed in her older age, and so I just kind of relate to that. I've always, like I said, I've always wanted to have children, and being from a large family, mm-hmm. you sort of like being around lots of other women, and, you know, I'm used to being bossed around, so since I'm the middle child, you know, when I'm among other women, I don't really want to be the leader of anything. Just tell me what to do, but that comes from the sibling thought that I received from being a middle child. 2 older sisters
yeah.
pushing me around, and then I had the 2 younger ones I had to take care of. So you get that middle child syndrome where, you know, you don't
yeah.
want to be the leader, just tell me what to do, but I like to do the help. And I guess I'd have to say Sarah, simply for that reason,
yeah.
the fact
yeah.
that she had, you know, her child wanted for so long in such a
yeah.
older age.
Well, you know, they lived a lot longer than we did, so
yeah,
probably you won't get pregnant when you're 90.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, they lived to be, let's see,
yeah.
we're to be speaking of Enoch today, and he was
yeah.
365 years old, and I don't know all their ages, but I know some of them 906,
yeah.
365, 462 years, so yeah. I guess 90 back then was relatively, you know,
yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
how long she lived, but it could have been maybe 1/3 of her life or whatever.
Well, I think Isaac was, she died before Isaac went to, got married, and Isaac was, I think around 40, maybe exactly 40 or something like that, around 40 when he got married, so I'm not really sure how much longer she lived,
yeah,
but yeah, she's, well, you know, Abraham even laughed. I mean, he thought that
yeah.
was funny. I don't think he thought it, you know, he bore after her. He had 6 children by sons by Keturah, so it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like maybe he was laughing so much about his own ability, but about Sarah. So,
well, that just goes to show how Yahweh, in all his wisdom, also has a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
And us as Isaac's
yeah.
sons, I guess that's why he's given us the ability to laugh at everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good thing to be able to laugh because, you know, it prevents stress and sickness. And when you don't take yourself too seriously, like I didn't want to come on because they laughed at me last time. So I was a little bit, oh, no, here we go again. But when you're able to laugh at yourself, it certainly makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
you figure, well, they're laughing at me, and I'm laughing at myself too. So, you know, it's like, everybody makes you safe. And, you know.
Well,
thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.